Adrian Grimaldi is one of Arizona's premier butterfly experts and has been obsessed with the beauty and life cycle of these colorful flying insects from an early age. Little did 8-year-old Adrian know, as she raised caterpillars in her California home, that her love of butterflies would evolve into a lifetime of opportunities, traveling the globe, learning as much as possible, and sharing her passion with others. As the education director of Butterfly Wonderland, it seems Adrian has landed in the perfect place, and Arizona is lucky to have such an amazing butterfly resource available locally. Come along as we record an eye-opening podcast with Adrian on location at Butterfly Wonderland near Scottsdale in the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community. Elizabeth and I quickly realized during Adrian's tour that what we were experiencing was something special, and we can't wait to share it with you. Adrian discusses some astounding facts about butterflies and explains how to build a simple yet effective backyard butterfly garden. Listen as we discuss the intricacies of butterfly life and their journey to Butterfly Wonderland from farms throughout the world, and how this team of butterfly experts is doing their best to ensure the butterfly's story is told effectively. All right, let's dive in. So, Adrian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. What a beautiful morning this has been.
Yeah, we've just kind of had the pleasure of walking around and seeing the butterflies. I can't believe this is your job. How lucky are you?
I do. I have my dream job here at Butterfly Wonderland.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to be. We just came off of a tour. We're here at Butterfly Wonderland, and this morning we came early. We got to take a tour. We got to also watch a really great video on
that
monarchs.
Thing was so, yeah. That's produced so well. It's 3D. So, you've got butterflies like flying all around you.
Yeah, it's our Flight of the Butterflies. It's our Monarch movie. It's only 14 minutes and kids just love it, especially if they've never seen a 3D movie before. The monarchs are right in front of them. And they come out of that movie with so many questions like, how can I help the monarchs? What can I do, to plant a butterfly garden? So we're like, we're right here for you.
Yeah. With the information we had some little ones sitting in front of us and hearing the wonder in their voices, butterfly. And it does feel like it's right there that you could reach out and touch them. But it's so interesting. It talks about the migration of butterflies and how it spans generations of butterflies.
Yeah. And how they travel so far, and they leave Canada and arrive in Mexico. They travel 30, 50 miles a day. And that not one monarch has ever made it round trip, and not one monarch has ever been there before down in Mexico where they overwinter. There's about 12 overwintering sites down in Mexico. The amazing thing about the movie is at the end, we have people that clap. Because they're so, wow, that was such an amazing movie. And it's originally a 45-minute movie called Flight of the Butterflies, and they narrowed it down to 14 minutes. So we share that movie with our guests here at Butterfly Wonderland. People love it. It's just it won 5 film awards, and they come out of it. And it's really the first thing when people come to Butterfly Wonderland, that's the first thing that people see is our 3D movie. And we highly recommend people see it. Sometimes people with little ones are like, I don't want to see it, and we can, that's not a problem. But if people have an opportunity, highly recommend to see that movie. It just literally paves the way for the rest of their visit.
It does. It totally sets a stage, because you're in there and the narrator has such a soothing voice, and there's light music going, and then after the movie you go into the main room, and then it's just butterflies everywhere, and it's just kind of just a relaxing sensation falls over your body. You're like, wow, this is just a beautiful experience.
It is. And we tell people they're going to get transformed into nature. Yeah. And it's amazing. After the movie, they go into our chrysalis emergence gallery, and we call it the nursery, but that's where all of our chrysalises are born.
That's a tough one.
It is, yes. And we receive about 1,200 100 chrysalises a week from butterfly farmers from all over the world. We have farmers that we have a partnership with in Costa Rica, Malaysia, Thailand, Africa, the Philippines. And so we receive via FedEx and the delivery, so FedEx delivers, we receive our 1,200 chrysalises a week. Wow. And so in this emergence gallery, it's literally three large windows. And I think we have the largest nursery in the United States. Butterfly Wonderland is the largest butterfly conservatory in the United States here. So we're very proud of that. But our boxes of chrysalises that we receive, our staff have to hand sort and hand glue those. It takes about 45 minutes to do. And then they literally emerge into beautiful butterflies 2 to 3 days later. Yeah. And we have 50 to 60 different species from all over the world. And so when people come here in Scottsdale to see butterflies, they don't realize that all these butterflies they're going to see.
Every color of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty everywhere. Amazing. All sizes. And our signature butterfly is our blue morpho, and that's from Costa Rica. And just amazing, beautiful iridescent blue, and that's everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
That's what we call it. That's our signature butterfly.
It's everybody huge loves it. Yeah. Too. So you can't miss it.
Yeah.
It's, if this is one of the first up close experiences you have with butterflies, this passes in front of your face and you're like, whoa, I did not know. Large. I mean, yeah, it is an amazing experience to be up close with such a vibrant big butterfly.
And those bigger ones, you can feel the wind when they like fly by your face. You know?
It's true. They actually chase each other around like kids on a playground. They'll dart in between people. We do tell people when they come to Butterfly Wonderland to watch where they step, let the butterflies come to them and give them butterfly kisses. It's free. Embrace it. But it really, you know, especially in our world today, we're so rush and so focus. We don't take a chance to get out into nature and to get out into the wonderful areas that we have here in Arizona. This is a wonderful opportunity for people to come back into nature, and they really come into our conservatory. And it's literally a 10,000 square foot glass enclosed conservatory that is tropical.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have never been to a tropical region, so be prepared. It can be warm. It's about 78 to 82% humidity, but that's because it's tropical butterflies. They need that for them to survive. If you wear bright colors or white, butterflies might land on you.
Yeah.
So it's
I had one land on me when we were in there.
It was
very cool.
That's a butterfly kiss.
Yeah.
That's a butterfly kiss. That's very special.
It felt special.
We have people that come into butterfly. I mean, butterflies are so transforming. Resurrection, they're peaceful, tranquil, they're beautiful. People have such a connection with butterflies. Mm-hmm. And so when they come into Butterfly Wonderland's conservatory, you could just feel them kind of take a deep breath. We offer some amazing workshops here. We have yoga in the rainforest. We have a painting class. We have guided meditation. We have a mindfulness drawing class. We have garden classes. I mean, it's just amazing. We have plant sales twice a year on how to build a butterfly garden. So there's all these opportunities for people to get back into nature. And butterflies are the way to do that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the plants and your plant sale. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, especially coming out of this experience, the next thing on your mind, even when you first watch that video, is I want to help. How can I help? I want to see them continue their journey. I want to see butterflies have the habitat that they need.
Because they're pollinators too. They're important. Really important to the environment.
We need maybe I'd love if you could share why butterflies are such important pollinators, mm-hmm. why they're so important to us, mm-hmm. and then how we can help them.
Well, and butterflies, just like the hummingbirds, the bees, the bats, ants, even, you know, all of those are important pollinators for us. And basically, why is it important? It's because it's an indicator of how healthy our environment is. When we have butterflies that are on the decline, which we've heard about in the news on monarchs, mm-hmm. are on the decline, that's showing that there's something out of sequence and that we need to help with getting that back. And the way to do that is to plant a butterfly garden for all of our pollinators. Our bees are huge, you know, decline in bee populations. So the plants that you choose that are purposeful In a butterfly garden, you can have host plants that they lay their eggs on and nectar plants that they get energy from. Butterflies taste with their feet and they smell with their antenna. And so when they go to flower, they're pollinating. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing that people can grow their own garden. Like you said, after seeing that movie, we have so many people that come in and go, oh, what can I do to help? And we have a brochure on butterfly gardening. We have a plant sale in March and October. And we have, you know, just ways that they can get involved and help. If everybody collectively planted a butterfly garden, just amazing how much impact that would have.
Absolutely.
You know, and we educate people about, you know, lack of pesticides and the impact that pesticides have on monarchs and bees and how to, you know, plant in their communities to provide a pollinator garden.
Can you walk the listeners through like maybe what it would take to set up a simple garden in their backyard?
Butterflies are solar powered, like I said. So you want a sunny location. You want, and it doesn't have to be big. You can have a butterfly garden on a small patio that are in containers. As long as you have nectar plants give butterflies energy. And then host plants are where they lay their eggs on and they have the whole life cycle, the egg, the caterpillar, the chrysalis, and the butterfly. So, you know, if you have a small area in your backyard, again, you want to have not a sprinkler system that's going to go, you know, because that can shoot a caterpillar off of its host plant. You don't even think of those things.
Right.
But you want a drip system. You want, and it can be a small garden. It doesn't have to be large, but you want, and you don't have to plant the plants all in the areas, you know, all these are host plants, all these are nectar plants. You can blend them together. Yeah. Again, butterflies taste with their feet. They smell with their antenna. They're going to find it.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah. So even if you have vegetables, and so fennel, dill, parsley, carrots, celery, those are host plants for the black swallowtail.
Oh.
Citrus trees, which we have here in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area, so many. That's the host tree for the giant swallowtail. And so if you find a caterpillar on your leaves that looks like a bird dropping, that's the caterpillar.
Yeah.
So it's a great recipe as long as you have sun, no pesticides, water. You want to do a lot of native plants that you can. Low water use, you know, obviously with Arizona and its water conservation, very, very important. Desert milkweed is my highest one that I always recommend, and that's for the attracting the monarchs and the queens. Those are two different species of butterflies. The desert milkweed plant is low water use. It's a vertical, beautiful plant that has a white flower on it that grows in the summer and the winter. And what plant does that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's very cool.
And it's especially in the fall, we have caterpillars that we literally have on our property here that we bring in and put them in a container. And we share them with our guest of native butterflies that you can grow, you know, in your own yard and have your own life cycle.
Yeah.
And so people come here to learn about butterflies and we have different ways that we do that. We have education cards. We have our staff that can educate people. And one of the things that I love is when they leave here, they're like, oh, I learned something new. I didn't know that butterflies taste with their feet or that we, you know, Arizona has 334 different species. We're second next to Texas, you know. So they learn something. And that's my job. That makes me really happy.
I wanted to say, you were telling us that we were only second to Texas with so many butterflies. You have two specific Arizona butterfly displays. And I was wondering, are people surprised that Arizona has so many butterflies?
Because
they think, oh, it's a dry desert.
So in the whole world, there's 28,000 species of butterflies. In North America, there's 800 different species, and Arizona's home to 334, and again, second next to Texas. And people go, oh, I don't see butterflies at all. And then later they'll come back and I see butterflies all the time now. I'm out in there and I see them. I know what they look like now. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that opening their eyes to nature and opening their eyes to gardening and being involved. And it's amazing. The plant sale that we have, we are the only Butterfly Wonderland Foundation has a plant sale in March and October, and we're the only pollinator plant sale in the state that literally is only for butterfly, bee, and hummingbird plants. host plants and nectar plants. And we are sponsored by Savano Nursery down in Tucson, and they have a wonderful support they've been able to support Butterfly Wonderland Foundation. And it just be able to have those plants that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's so awesome to be able to enable people to plant other butterfly gardens.
And to be able to play an active part in the ecosystem. You know, you're growing up these butterflies, they're going to pollinate stuff and they're going to start that cycle over again. And, you know, they could use all the help they can get.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, our different areas, especially throughout the state, have different areas for butterflies. And for people in Arizona, we have two different butterfly seasons. We have a spring season here in Arizona, and typically February, March, you're only going to see certain Arizona butterflies. That's when the plants are growing, those spring flowers. You're not going to see those butterflies in the fall. They only live in the spring. And then you have our hot summer, and there are butterflies that survive in those hot summers. But then in the fall, we have another butterfly season, and that's when our monarchs come through Arizona on their way down to Mexico. So we do have monarchs here. People go, oh, I don't think we have monarchs in Arizona. I'm like, ah, yes, we do.
Yeah, it's a highway, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got several monarch way stations in our parks, and we'll list them out in the show notes. But that's a great place to go see monarchs. They're beautiful butterflies.
Yes, yeah. And Arizona, other butterflies, we have the queen butterfly. We have the we have the buckeye. We have swallowtails. We have the two-tailed swallowtail, which is our state butterfly here in Arizona.
And I learned today that it's because it resembles our flag.
Correct. Yeah. Our state flag. Yeah, the legislature voted on that in 2001 to be our state flag. They had other contenders, but the swallowtail, the two-tailed swallowtail won out because it has the same colors as our state flag, which are the blue and the orange and the yellow.
Yeah. I love that.
So, that's super cool.
Yeah. And it's a very large butterfly. When you see it, if you've ever been down in southern Arizona, northern Arizona, at any of the state parks, you see it. It flies like a 747. It's got large wings, and it's just a huge butterfly.
Barely through.
Yeah, you cannot miss it. It's like a 747.
Do you have tips for people who are wanting to go observe more butterflies? Where should they go? What should they do? How can they see more butterflies in nature?
Yeah. Here in Arizona, obviously butterflies love the sun. So like I said, the spring and the fall are great opportunities. They have areas where there's nectar plants. So like we have our wildflower season coming up. Other great opportunities are any of the state parks that have the way stations. They're going to have nectar plants and host plants. The state parks that have, you know, the flowers blooming, that's a great opportunity. Sedona, I've been to some of the parks up there, Red Rock. And they've got some nectar gardens and pollinator gardens already established.
They do.
You were talking earlier about these riparian zones, too, that's a really resource-rich area for butterflies. Mm-hmm. So you can go somewhere with water, and you might be more likely.
And that's a recipe. Whenever you have water and plants and an area that's kind of secluded or protected from the wind, seems to be a wonderful place that butterflies choose. So down in southern Arizona, Ramsey Canyon, you've got Boyce Thompson is one of our favorites. And then also, you know, Dead Horse State Park in Cottonwood. Awesome. Yeah. There are some great nectar sources there and the trails around the lake.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a great place to see butterflies. And that's the thing too, when people come through Butterfly Wonderland, they're so excited, like you said, about the movie, about butterflies, what can I do? Then they go home, they plant a butterfly garden, and now you've got something in your backyard that you can keep eyes on and see that, oh my gosh, we have caterpillars. And I love it. My motto is, if you plant it, they will come.
Yeah.
You know, the old baseball adage there. Right. But it's true. Butterflies can smell they'll tap the plant with their feet, and they can tell that that's the plant that they need to lay their eggs on. So when you provide that, and it's like a recipe, you provide that, they'll show up. And it's always interesting to see what you can attract to your yard. So I've lived here in Scottsdale for quite a while and had a butterfly garden since 1999. And I've attracted 33 species of butterflies just in South Scottsdale.
Very cool.
And some that, you know, are first timers that I've never seen before that I've attracted because I had that that balance of nectar plants, host plants. The other factor in a butterfly garden is you can put rocks, like a little rock garden, because that emits heat. And butterflies, maybe on a cold morning, you might see them basking where they point themselves towards the sun. And if you have a little rock garden there, they'll land on those rocks and kind of bask to warm up and soak in that heat.
I wouldn't have thought of that. It's a great idea.
Yeah, very smart. Yeah.
And then also a saucer dish that has sand, because butterflies have this behavior called mud puddling. And it's where they'll get the soil. There's wet soil along maybe a stream or a river. And they'll go on to that soil and you'll see their proboscis, or that's their tongue to get the nectar or get the minerals out of the soil. And so if you provide a saucer dish with a little drip and you've got sand in there, they can use that.
Wow. You'll see that behavior a lot at Slide Rock State Park along Oak Creek. Yeah. If you just sit there and be still for a minute, you're going to see a butterfly. We get tagged in a lot of pictures, people going up, and they're amazed because before you know it, looks like this butterfly is eating off of a rock.
Right. Well, and you'll go on a wash and like in your car or hiking, and you'll see all of a sudden there's a flutter of butterflies, and it might be a yellow butterfly. So it's all yellow, and it might be a little blue butterfly. Right. We have marine blue and Reichardt's blue and all these little blue butterflies that will fly up. They're the ones that are getting the minerals. And the reason for that is they use that for mating purposes. So the males, those are typically whenever you come across a wash and you see all those butterflies, those are males.
Oh, okay.
Because they're using those minerals for mating purposes to attract the females.
So like the story I was telling you down at Karchner, hiking through that canyon in the bottom, those are probably all little male
those are male butterflies. Wow. Also, another great thing, I can't really think of any state park where you can hike to the top of a mountain, but here locally, we've got Camelback, we've got there's Ballantine Trail along the Beeline Highway.
Yeah.
And if you hike to the top, you'll see butterflies hilltopping.
Oh, I wonder if they go to Picacho because we have so many, hopefully. I mean, our fingers are crossed for a great
wildflower season. It's going to be a good season, I can already tell.
But that'd be a good place to see them do that, I imagine.
Yeah, and so the males are at the top waiting for the female. So it's like a singles bar for butterflies.
Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah, I hiked Camelback, and at the top there were these butterflies. And if you go to Sears Cay Ruins, which is right off of Cave Creek and near Bartlett Lake area, you'll hike up to the top and there's butterflies at the top and at certain times, typically in the spring. And they're just there waiting for the females and it's amazing.
The wildflowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and the bass are biting. Springtime in Arizona is here. Take advantage of one of the most beautiful times of year with a state park adventure. If you're anxious to get on the water, head to one of our four parks along the Colorado River for all the swimming, boating, fishing, and water sports you've been dreaming about. Or, if you're craving cool mornings, comfortable afternoons, and evenings around a cozy campfire, head to higher elevations in northern Arizona like Dead Horse Ranch State Park, Fool Hollow Lake, or Lyman Lake State Park. Remember to bring your binoculars to make birding and wildlife viewing even more exciting. And don't miss out on the breathtaking wildflower blooms that a wet winter in Arizona has gifted us this spring. See the desert decorated in a colorful robe of golden poppies, vibrant blue lupins, stunning red tuberosas, and so many more with a visit to Picacho Peak, Lost Dutchman, or Catalina State Park. Please protect the habitat by staying on trails and taking photos instead of wildflowers so that others may enjoy the vibrant show. Plan your springtime adventure at azstateparks.com.
So butterflies, I've loved butterflies since I was a child. Growing up in California, I used to collect caterpillars as an eight-year-old, and I used to put them in the jars and feed them. And then I got a little stressed as an eight-year-old because I was like, I have to come up with 100 names for these butterflies. Right. And I'm like, how am I going to do that? And so then I decided to name them all Buttercup.
Okay.
Because if I saw one, I could say there's Buttercup.
Yes.
And so it's amazing. Butterflies are a lot to a lot of different people. And I have my dream job. I love being able to share butterflies with people, and to have them leave here and go home and know that they were educated and they didn't realize that I learned something new today.
Well, I think
I love that.
That is amazing. And I think what happens sometimes with butterflies and other, smaller creatures, you go through life and you might be taking for granted some things. You're like, oh, there's a butterfly. But then when you learn more about them, you're like, you know what kind they are and why they're doing things. And it really enhances the experience, because when you're out in nature, these a bunch of small little awesome experiences make for the all-encompassing experience of whatever outdoor trip you're taking. And butterflies can really add to that.
They can. And people don't realize, and I love this phrase. When I was a young adult, I went on a field trip with the expert of butterflies here in Arizona, Jim Brock. He was down in Tucson. He's written many books that are in the gift shops on Arizona butterflies. And he would see a butterfly and he would say, oh, that's a female, da-da-da. I'm like, how do you know that's a female? And then he would find a shrub and he would go, oh, there's a caterpillar. I'm like, how did you spot that? Well, yeah. And he knew, just what to look for. And he loved still loves butterflies. But one of the things that he said that has always stuck with me, and he knows that I share this phrase, is that he said, when you see a butterfly, you see a survivor. Because there's something along each stage of the egg, the caterpillar, the chrysalis, the butterfly that can keep it from moving on to the next. Mm-hmm. And so I love that too, in that, similar thing of how we in life, things can happen to us that can keep us from blossoming, growing, moving on. And so when we see a butterfly, we see a survivor. And when you see that, you appreciate it more.
Even more, yeah. Because less than one, according to the movie, which we just watched, less than 1% make it to adulthood.
Yeah. And there's a lot of factors. There's the temperature change can affect an egg. There's predators, pesticides, climate change, change in temperature. Even, we had the hottest summer here, a couple of years ago, hottest July ever. And the temperatures changed in California. They had the hottest summer. And so that can affect the host plant. The host plant's not going to grow. And then that's going to alter the number that survive. And also fires in California that affected the monarchs. That took away their host plant. So there's all these different variables that can affect butterflies. And so the more that people plant gardens, the more that that's going to be successful.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. And that's what I love to hear when people leave here. They come into Butterfly Wonderland and some of them don't know quite what to expect. And it is a tropical, we say, it's a tropical rainforest. Okay. Well, and butterflies are the stars. But here we also have the wonderful movie about the monarch. We have reptiles. We have tropical fish. We have the spineless giant bugs. We have some really cool bugs.
These are high quality displays. I want to let people know that they look legit and you feel like you're at a fancy zoo.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just cool because you really get a full picture of the habitat that these butterflies are in. Mm-hmm. And everything is connected. Like you're saying, something affects the host plant, that affects the butterflies. It's all this big circle of life, not to be corny, but it's true. Yeah. And you feel like a part of it when you're here. You understand your place in all this.
Yeah.
And you want to help.
Yeah. And it is. And Butterfly Wonderland opened in May of 2013. And so we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary in May. We're so excited. I've been here 10 years. It's amazing.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. No, I love my job. I just was joking with you earlier that I'm so glad I don't work at a scorpion museum, because then I'd have to, have scorpion earrings and scorpion purse. Right. And there's not much you can do with scorpions, but, butterflies are much better. But we have doctors that come here just to decompress in the conservatory after a hard day. We have people that have gone through cancer and butterflies mean something to them. We have people that have lost a loved one. And so they're able to come in here and they feel connected to that loved one through a butterfly. Or I know some people say they've seen hummingbirds as well. But it's a connection to nature that we're educating people about. And it's an honor to be able to do that.
It's really therapeutic. I love what you were explaining to us about your foundation, because you understand the quality of the therapeutic quality of connecting people with these butterflies. So your foundation is doing some really great work. Yeah. Can you share with the listeners about the different ways that you're not only conserving, you know, working on conservation efforts for butterflies' behalf, but the foundation's also helping people?
Right, absolutely. The Butterfly Wonderland Foundation, it's our nonprofit. There's two different sides. There's BW and then there's the foundation. What people don't realize when they come in with their admission here at Butterfly Wonderland is that that money is going to the butterfly farmers as well. And those butterfly farmers in Costa Rica, Malaysia, Thailand, Africa, the Philippines, they are helping to conserve the rainforest with the money that we're sharing with them and giving them for raising those butterflies. They actually are able to release 10% back into the wild. They're able to plant deforested pieces of the rainforest back. And so it's just amazing when you see that, and nobody, you know, a lot of people don't realize when they come to hear that that's what they're doing with that admission money. And so that's really impactful.
You know, that's true. I think sometimes just going, you know, if people say, I want to help, I don't know how to help. Just go. It's the same with our state parks. You enter and you're supporting the system. You're supporting the agency. You're supporting conservation work.
Yeah. I've been here, I think this is my third time at Butterfly Wonderland. And the other two times I came with my kids. And just seeing their excitement and watching them learn. And, you know, it hooks them with the beautiful colors. You know, it's a real pretty situation. But then as you go through the displays and you're discussing the life cycle of the butterflies and just how excited they are to learn that and then take that, and we camp a lot too. And, you know, we look at butterflies, you know, but every time it's a special experience and I take something different from it. And I really hope the listeners get a chance to experience what you guys have put together here.
Well, thank you. And we have an amazing staff. We have Derek, our entomologist, and he's amazing what he's created in the conservatory that the butterflies love. And that's the best way that you could say, you know, the butterflies love it and they're living a lot longer than they normally would. Normally, tropical butterflies live 14 days or less. And these, we did a longevity study and they're living about 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So the environment there, we have a horticulturalist that's out there with plants, Dawn. We have our staff, Nina, and taking care of our bugs, and Tyler, you know, all of that. So we have amazing staff that really are invested and care about what we're doing. On the flip side, we have, like I shared, our Butterfly Wonderland Foundation, and we're able to take the money that we receive through different various ways here at Butterfly Wonderland. And take that money that people donate to the foundation, and we give that back to the community. So the goal for the mission for the foundation is to support Title I low-income students to come on a field trip at no charge. So this last year, 2022, we were able to give out scholarships to 3,000 students to come on a field trip at no charge. Many of those students hadn't been on a field trip since because of COVID. Mm-hmm. This was their first field trip.
That's cool.
Awesome.
And we also have what's called Sunday Fun Days, and it's for our charities. Our nonprofit charities that, autism, families with, PAL is an autism, group out there. And, we have Sunday Fun Days for Hope Kids, which are children with terminal illnesses. So just a range of charities that are able to come in thanks to the donations that people make here, for when they come into Butterfly Wonderland.
It's fantastic. It's an experience that everyone should get to enjoy, and it enriches your own personal experience outdoors too. So.
Man.
Sure.
Listen, thanks for doing this work.
Oh, you're welcome.
This has been a great day.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I feel like I'm leaving lighter and happier.
Yeah,
and you can feel your blood pressure start to go down when you come in here.
Well, and we offer a lot of different ways for people to decompress. So we have yoga in the rainforest. We have painting class, like I shared. And it's just a way for people, and especially the yoga in the rainforest. That's class is held in the evening when we're closed to the public. And we have butterflies that fly at dusk. And as you're doing yoga, they land on you and they're doing yoga too.
Oh,
and they're like 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and 1 and 2. And
I'm sure the light's just streaming through. And pretty.
And they come in, you know, because the class is from 5 to 6, and people come in all stressed and tight because they had that traffic experience here. And then when they leave, they're always like, ah,
yeah,
you know, like they just had a massage.
It's better than a glass of wine.
It is. Maybe. That would be good. Wine and yoga.
I like it. Right. Who do I talk to about this?
Yes. A new concept. Being able to just the different ways that people come in and, you know, we've seen, you know, when you go hiking at any of your state parks and, or even camping and you see people, they always say hi to each other and they're so friendly when they go camping, but that probably was the same person you just cut off on the freeway down in the city, you know, but when they come in and they just get transformed into this, tropical rainforest and the plants and the mist, and we have koi fish and we have two chickens and we have a bee exhibit where the bees go out into the city of Scottsdale within a 3 to 5 mile radius. And you can look through an observation window and see the queen bee and see the bees. And so it's just it's an amazing experience. And people, you know, one of the things that I love about my job is seeing all the different chrysalises that come from all the different countries, right? And we have 50 to 60 different species. We have 1,200 chrysalises. And you would never see these many butterflies in the one under one roof. You'd have to go all these different countries. Yeah. And especially, I always get a little sentimental at Christmas time and all the families that are coming in that represent all the different butterflies. It's the same thing. They're here with their families, representing wherever they're coming from, all people from all over. Bringing their family here to enjoy. And it's just like the butterflies. The butterflies are flying around enjoying, and it's just, I love it that it just mirrors that. Yeah. And then, you know, again, that we're being able to provide this environment for people to see butterflies that they normally would never, you know, get to see. And whether that's a field trip for Title I students or people that go home. We have people that see that movie on the Monarchs and they're like, I'm going to go home to Iowa and I'm going to plant milkweed.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they tell us that they had 40 acres and that they planted milkweed. After seeing that movie, they went to...
What an impact.
Yeah. And so that's... I love those stories. And I love... So we're actually going to Mexico. When you saw that movie, that's a movie about the monarchs down in Mexico and out where they overwinter. We're actually in 2 weeks, we're going to take a group of people down to Mexico to see the overwintering site. This is our third trip that Butterfly Wonderland puts together with a closer look tours here in Glendale, Arizona. And we're able to take people down there and it's very reverent. Mm-hmm. The butterflies take flight when the sun comes out and it sounds like a waterfall. Wow. But it's the sound of millions of wings of butterflies.
It's a
bucket list kind of trip.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's one of those things where you just can't put it into words.
It doesn't seem real, like from the video, like how they're all hanging there like that, you know, just like big giant bunches of butterflies.
It just looks like leaves. Mind almost can't comprehend. I'm sure being there in person is just magical.
Yeah, we were there in 2019 and in 2020. And it's in February, that same week that's always where President's Week holiday is. There was an area there that was grass and it was covered in water, but you couldn't see the grass. It was just a blanket of monarchs.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah.
We really can't get enough of nature. I just have to say that we give a lot of attention on our show to some of the big, exciting things to see here in Arizona and go explore lots of mountains or camping and things like that. But it's so fun to stop and appreciate something small and so magical. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at butterflies, you'll just say the monarch, you know, people love the monarch. I think everybody has a story that they can say of, oh, I remember a monarch and, growing up in Iowa or wherever. And the monarch's numbers have declined 90% over 20 years.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And it's brutal.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different factors. But I always tell people, you know, you can always get into a discussion about those different factors, but what can you do?
Yeah.
And what can you do to help the monarch? What can you do to help the pollinators? Not just monarch. I mean, monarchs are awesome, but, what can you do to help the bees and the other butterflies? And it's plant a butterfly garden. I mean, that's
something
it is simple. And it's something that has, you know, you have you know, and it's colorful, it's beautiful, and it attracts, it's not just for butterflies, it attracts other things too.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. And it's something that's for children of all ages. You know, we've had children at the school that I taught at that had never been in dirt. They never, their parents wouldn't let them get dirty. And it was like, you need to go get your hands in the dirt and plant a plant. And they came back and they're like, that was awesome. And they felt that they were part of something and part of nature and being able to, you know, just plant. It's very therapeutic, like you were saying.
Yeah. There's no replacement for this really up close, intimate experience with nature. So thank you for sharing that.
You're
with
welcome.
Us today. I hope that all of our listeners can check out this experience.
Where can they find more information about you guys?
On our website at butterflywonderland.com. We're located off the 101 and Via de Ventura in Scottsdale. We're right next to the Odyssey Aquarium. Mm-hmm. And Butterfly Wonderland is the largest butterfly conservatory in the United States. And we are located in Arizona Boardwalk Complex, which has tons of other shops and restaurants and just amazing things. You can spend the whole day here.
Yeah.
Is your social media Butterfly Wonderland?
I believe so. Yep. Yeah. You can check it out. It's on our website.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. We'll be sure to link it. Yeah. Follow along. Come have this experience for your family. Go home, plant some butterfly garden and look for them out in the parks and see them in nature.
Yeah. And we'll be doing some tagging of monarchs. So we do monarch education in the month of September. Okay. And we'll be going down to southern Arizona. So if people can't go to Mexico because it's too far or whatever, they can look on our website in September, usually the third weekend in September. We head down to southern Arizona and we tag monarchs with a little sticker as they're flying through Arizona on their way down to Mexico. And it's just amazing thing to learn and to be able to hold a monarch that weighs the same weight as a paperclip and to know that this thing flew or it will fly down to Mexico and make it. I mean, it's great story, and to be able to be part of that, to provide nectar, to provide a safe environment, butterfly garden for them.
And you're a great person to tell that story. In fact, I've loved every minute of today and talking with you and your excitement about butterflies and just how you love to share the education side of them. And I just hope the listeners have a chance to come down here and experience this too. So we appreciate you, Adrienne, and everything you're doing.
You are very welcome.